along today for our 30-minute catch-up on COVID-19. Hopefully you're all safe and well, and your families are as well. Georgina and I and the exec team thought this would be a good idea for us to have the opportunity to come together to talk about the rigours of COVID-19 and what not just we're going through, but also what our clients are going through. Last week, we had the opportunity to respond to Bayes, and they gave us a great response from the report that I did. And the report was as a result of your responses to me and to us. And also, I reached out to the City of London Guild Network, of which I'm a member through the Guild of Entrepreneurs. And as a result of that, we received an enormous amount of response, over 150 responses, 30,000 words of recommendations, and I summarised all those to government. What I'm really interested in now, and we are as the ABM, is we want to keep that going because priorities change. What the government's doing is changing day by day. Without getting political, I think they're doing a pretty good job. They're responding as quickly as they can to certain things, certainly in respect of business. The problem that I'm hearing and nationally we're hearing is that the money's taking too long to come through. But I think, from what I understand it, Bayes and in particular the business secretary are going to give the banks a kick up the rear end very quickly, as they did yesterday in the Prime Minister's press conference headed by the business secretary. So I don't want to speak too much because I think this is your forum. Gary, I think you emailed us a number of points. Maybe you'd just like to pick out one of those to kick us off. Hi, Gary, can you hear me? Okay, Gary's gone to sleep. He's frozen, I think. So I've got Gary's email here. So one of the things that he's come up with is how can clients pivot their business to respond to the current situation? So I've been speaking to, I've still got my clients. They have fortunately kept me on, which is really nice of them. They are seeing the opportunity to take a step back in their business and look at what they're doing and how they're doing things. And I'm using this time with them shortened periods of time, so I'm probably not on the phone for more than 30 to 60 minutes, but they appreciate that. And they can contact me at any time within reason to talk about any problems or challenges that they've got in their own business. A lot's been around the financials, furloughing staff, and how do directors sit as far as financial income and support goes. And that's a problem at the moment. And the IOD, Institute of Directors, and the London Chamber of Commerce have all expressed their concern about how directors are paid, considering they can't be furloughed because they still have to manage their businesses. So I think it's marketing should continue. We still should sell. We're in a market that has to continue. We can't just pick up the pieces when we're out the other side, so to speak, as they keep saying. So from my point, I'm still marketing what I do. I'm still getting referrals. I'm still posting on LinkedIn and social media, helpful content, hopefully, and also client testimonials and case studies. So anybody, Gary, I see you're back with us. No? Okay, does anybody else want to chip in on how their clients...
Sorry.
Hi, Gary. You're back.
Yeah, sorry. Unstable connection.
Okay. We just... I used one of your questions about how can clients pivot what they do and how they do it in the current situation.
Yeah.
I was just suggesting that I'm certainly reaching out to all my clients and giving them the opportunity to come back to me. And taking this as an opportunity more than anything to reevaluate what they do and how they do it.
Absolutely.
Anybody else had experience in respect to that?
Do you want me to kick off?
Yeah, please, Gary.
I think I've just gone back to basics with pretty much every client, and I've got anybody from one man bands up to kind of multi-million pound businesses. And, you know, I've just, it's been an opportunity for them to get back to basics. And what do I mean by that? You know, maybe they're incurring some costs that they've been allowing to get away with because they've had the ability to be able to fund those. So they've cut the costs right back. They've looked at their revenue streams with the customers and just, you know, is everything robust? Everything okay? Can they add more value? So basically just getting the top line maintained and just getting the bottom line as the cost as trim as possible to maintain the profitability. And then we've looked at evaluating, is their current business in terms of working.
Yeah, Gary, I think we're losing you again. Hi, Gary. I think we're losing you. No, he's gone.
Perhaps if we just move on for a second and maybe look at sort of going back to basics.
Yeah, yeah. Has anybody else got a more stable connection that would like to contribute? Yeah,
Christine's waving.
Christine, hi Christine. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Really good. I've got a couple. I mean, I'm also in the same position as Simon. Some of our clients have put us on complete pause. One of my clients has absolutely taken off their infrastructure, so technology infrastructure specialists, and they are in more demand than, I mean, they can't get enough bodies. So I you know, I've got stable income. But it has made me and a lot of my other clients think about, we can't alter the situation that we're in right now. What can we do and what can we think about that's different to make sure that we never get in this position again? Now, we can't stop there being another virus thing again, and the likelihood is this is going to happen again. So what do we need to think about from a business perspective? So I've started engaging with my clients, even the ones that have put me on pause, just again to keep them ticking over on the things that are really important to make sure that the situation that they're currently stressing about is not something that's going to cause them stress in the future. And we came up with six things. So the first one was, how do I develop my business going forward so that I can have a war chest, so that I've got some more financial resilience, and what needs to happen for me to do that? The second thing is actually looking at company culture. And most people do this really passively, but actually maybe now's the time to really think about it more proactively, because particularly as we're more geographically dispersed, culture becomes much, much more important. And actually from a mentor's perspective, I think this is one of the things that where mentors particularly can really show where they add value, because you hold the mirror up. So people in their businesses can actually fool themselves that they've got great culture. But from a mentor perspective, you get that great external eyes on to really say, well, you might think the culture's that good, but is it really? And actually ask the more challenging and difficult questions. The third thing was actually making business owners look at the perspective of income, ownership and control. So such that they recognize that income is them having a job in their business. Control is them being a director of their business, and ownership obviously is them owning the shares of the business, and actually making them think of those three roles quite separately. And again, most of them will have drifted into, I own it, therefore I work in it, therefore I control it, and actually helping them separate that in their heads for the long-term future is really worthwhile. We also identified ownership reliance. So businesses that are completely reliant on the business owner, what happens if the business owner goes down with COVID? And even worse, what if they become permanently incapacitated as a result? How does their business survive without them? and actually getting them, again, this is from a mentoring perspective, this is being able to get them to come up with the solutions in their own head, but actually holding up the mirror to say, are you creating this dependency? And then the final two are kind of linked, because one's planning, but the other one is the business model. And if your business model is broken, then no matter what you do from now on, all you're going to do is be propping up a broken business model. And is now the time for us to actually really ask some serious questions about the business model in our businesses and whether that is actually sustainable, or are we literally floating on the top of the water just above broke? Which can often feed back into, why do we not have a war chest? Well, it's often because our business model is broken. So I don't know if that answers the question, but it was certainly, these are the things that I'm thinking of in my own business, but also with all of my other businesses. And it's stuff that you can give them to take away for them to think about, but it also is the thing that is going to generate their appetite to come back to you for more support, actually during the crisis, but also after the crisis, because this is a time when we have the opportunity to actually start thinking differently. Yeah. And I think the first step for us as mentors is to get our clients out of panic mode and out of worry mode and into proactive mode. And that's where we can show leadership. Because the one thing I learned this week was facts are neutral. Thoughts can be scary. Worry pretends to be necessary. And at some point, all of this will be over.
Yes, thanks, Christine. That's really, really extremely valuable. I think fundamentally, business models are broken. We struggle, and I say we in business struggle to understand that we need to retain profit within our business model to be able to cope with situations like this. I've always tried to maintain 3 month cash flow within my businesses that I've added previously. It's not always easy, especially when you've got when you're in a B2B situation and you've got your clients pushing you down on price all the time, they don't see the value of what you do or how you do it, or they don't value your team or your employees or what you do for them. And I think there needs to be a fundamental change in business generally, in that certainly big clients can no longer keep screwing people on price, because it's not going to work. And we're going to find ourselves in this situation again and again and again. This could happen every 5, 6, 7 years. The economy just won't, world economies won't support it. And I think we also need to understand that having that cash flow in our business model and that war chest, as you suggested, Christine, is fundamental to the survival of a business, because we don't know when we're going to lose a customer. We don't know, whether our biggest client's going to disappear tomorrow and our turnover is going to go down as a result. So we do need to keep our businesses, our clients need to keep that cash in their business somehow. And the only way we can do that is by retained profit. Some of that retained profit needs to go in investment, research and development and what we do and how we do it. The other should be kept to the side. And I know I'm talking utopian, but it's an important issue. It's an important issue. And we made that issue to government last week, in that especially the big boys, that when you're dealing with corporate clients, stop screwing the small businesses on price, because that's what you're doing all the time. And, you're actually stopping them make a profit. You're allowing them to cover their costs, maybe make 5, 6, 7%. That's not good enough. Not good enough in today's market. And we're in this position because of it. Does anybody else want to come in?
I've got a couple of points. Can I just pick up on? Hi, everybody. One is, this business of the war chest, I think, is absolutely crucial. It has been for a long, long time. And with the way the banks are behaving, I think it's just absolutely essential. So I think anything that we can do to help our clients with ensuring they have a war chest, I think, is crucial. And the second point is the after all this is over and starting to think about how they're going to be running their businesses in the future. Some are going to go to the wall and they will not survive this. But those that do survive it, I think it was Christine was saying, is thinking about how they're going to operate afterwards. And I think we can help our clients get in their heads around how are they going to do things differently after this is all over. One example we were chatting about before everybody arrived was everybody working from home now. Well, maybe afterwards businesses can get an awful lot more people working from home, get a lot of the traffic off the roads and commuting problems, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that that's just one thing that I would put on my list to be talking to clients about how they're going to operate afterwards. And I do think we should be thinking about the future and that we should be getting our heads around helping our clients come out of this afterwards.
Yeah, I certainly 100% agree with that, and we should be doing that as a matter of course.
It's Anna here. Can you hear me?
Hi, Anna. Yes, you can.
Hi, morning, everyone. One of the key topics I've been working with clients on, which is my sort of coaching and training speciality, is around resilience and managing the mental health of people whilst they're working at home. So people who are able to sort of, you know, carry on and have employment. But what a lot of clients are noticing is that for the first few days, it's quite novel, it was exciting. And a lot of them are saying that now, sort of 2 weeks in, they're noticing the changes in people's mood levels, energy levels and stuff like that. So a lot of the work I'm doing is helping them to help their employees work from home with this lack of social connection, which we all need as humans. And what can they do to look after and identify and have those conversations so that they can pick up any problems and struggles that people might be having, and also realigning their expectations with productivity, because, you know, a lot of people are saying how exhausted they are. They're saying, you know, how come I'm so tired? You know, I'm not having to get up so early and commute and travel and all of these kind of things, but I'm more tired now than ever. And one of the things I explained to them is because this is all new to us. Our brains get so used to creating automatic habits that help us in our routines. And this is a massive new learning curve for everyone. So just kind of being, I suppose, you know, tolerant and sort of, you know, easing off employees, but keeping in regular contact, you know, and asking what different employees need. Some of them, you know, depending on personalities, the whole introvert, extrovert stuff, are going to respond to this differently. So that's one of the things. So if anyone wants any more information, because I'm putting together various sort of tip sheets and bits and pieces of information, I'm happy to share with people if they, you know, pick up on these things with their own clients.
Anna, that would be really helpful. Would it be possible if I could ask you to provide a like a one pager fact sheet on issues around that?
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be really helpful. And if you don't mind, if we could publish that to our members, that'd be brilliant, I think.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Just really helpful, Anna. Just on that, the ABM, we've set up a COVID-19 support page, which is on, you have to log into the members area to see it. And we can put things like that up there. So, Anna, if you send that directly to inquiries at ABM, that would be great. If anyone else has got anything they want to share with the membership, any tips, any training that they're doing, anything like that, please, please do send it through to us, and we'll make sure everyone can and see it.
Thanks, Georgina.
And from it as well.
Would anybody else like to add to the points that Anna and Christine and Gary have already made?
Simon, I can add something. So I specialise in leadership communications from a mentoring perspective. And one of the things that I think builds on everything that everyone else has said is that I'm encouraging them to scenario plan, but to do it in quite specific time increments. So literally, for now, scenario planning day by day, to kind of think about all their stakeholders, all their operational and all the requirements that they have to actually work out what their needs are and what could happen and what could change in the short term. And then to extend that to scenario planning for the weeks and then then 1 to 3 months, and then 3 to 6 months ahead, to really get people to think about how, what they need to be doing now to future-proof what could happen in the future from a timescale perspective, and from kind of the general oversight perspective, and to think about the consequences of small decisions for their employees in particular, and recognize that people are in different places on the change curve. They have different levels of acceptance. I mean, Anna's points are absolutely spot on in terms of how people are responding. So, but scenario planning for me is something that I think people are receiving quite well.
That's really helpful, Siobhan. Thank you very much. One thing that that I've stressed to my clients is that the importance of keeping in contact with their clients. So making sure that lines of communication remain open, making sure that their business network is maintained. It's very easy to go into this lockdown and think that we're isolated, but actually business continues. So that's a very important key aspect of it. And just to pick up on Siobhan's comments about change points in our staff and our clients' employees. Everybody's different. Not everybody works the same. So our business owners have to be very wary of, whilst one person may be coping in your team, another person may not. So it's important to reach out to all of them and make sure that there's open communication between those teams as well.
Simon, can I just pick up on your point on communications as well? Because I do a lot of crisis communications. And one of the things I think people are overlooking quite naturally is that they're not listening. So you're talking about reaching out to customers and stakeholders. And I think what we're all probably seeing and experiencing is a lot of one-way travel for communications. I think that's completely natural for an initial response to a crisis. But now that we're moving into a longer phase of this, again, something that I'm reminding my clients to do is to get that two-way communications back in place and to really listen to customers, stakeholders, suppliers, and just to make sure that it's not one way for much longer, that they are kind of creating more of a dialogue and listening to what people need.
Yeah, very valid, Siobhan. Thank you very much. Does anybody else would like to add anything to any of the points raised, or your own points indeed?
Yeah, I've got something actually.
Morning, Kerry.
Morning. Great to see everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just wanted to make the point that it's actually totally and utterly fine to stop and breathe and just take some time out. I've been juggling with various different things, from homeschooling to a lot of cooking to working to so all sorts, and I've just tried to reset my normal run at 100 miles per hour theme, and actually embrace the fact that I am in the house, and it is okay to use the time that normally I'd perhaps be running from A to B to actually just sort of turn everything off and sit and think. And it's been really fab, actually, and it's definitely something that I'm going to be continuing post current crisis. So it's okay, take the pressure off. It's okay just to sit and breathe and think.
Do you think people feel under pressure to work like 9 to 5 or 8 to 4 or 8 to 6 because they're at home and they feel that they need to be doing something?
Yeah, I do. I think a lot of people are feeling the fact that they need to justify their value.
Yeah. Business owners as well as employees?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I've heard of some horrific things actually going on out there. One company in particular have made it completely impossible for parents with small children at home to feel supported and nurtured. So they've issued a statement saying that if someone does have small children and they're finding it difficult to work with them at home, that they have to take forced leave, unpaid. There's all sorts of horrificness going on out there, so we need to make sure that we're aware of that and spread the good stuff, because that's just you know, talking about mental health, that's an immediate stage one, pressure, anxious, you know, the ripples and repercussions of that, not just from a working environment, but then crossing over into home and, you know, your immediate family around you. It's just awful.
Yeah, yeah. That's deplorable. It's not, absolutely non-excusable.
Yeah, really. I'd love to name and shame, but I can't.
I would normally say I'll go on. But
Kerry, it's Anna here again. I do voluntary parent coaching work, and we're putting together some online stuff. So again, I'm happy to help that because that might be useful.
Yeah,
I think it is, particularly parents with younger children. Mine are teenagers, so they're sort of relatively self-sufficient and can help themselves to food. But people with younger parents who don't have a tolerant, empathetic employer, I really feel for them. I absolutely do.
Yeah, that'd be great, Anna. Thank you.
Thanks, Anna. That'd be really helpful. We're coming up to 11:30. We've got a few minutes. Anybody else would like to make a comment or suggestion or just to vent or whatever you'd like to do? Okay. I hope you found these helpful. We're going to have them. Thanks, Chris. That thumbs up. We're going to have them once a week. They're going to be chaired by a different member of the exec team each time. I think 30 minutes is just about right. We don't want to spend too long debating and discussing, but what we want to do is learn. I think there's been some really fantastic contributions from people today, and I thank you for that. I am really, really proud of the association. Kerry knows how passionate I am about the association. Kerry and I have worked tirelessly, Kerry more so probably, over the last 2 years to get where we are today. And I think we're only as strong as because we've got all of the people in it. And, you know, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for what you're doing for yourselves, for your families, for your relatives, and for your clients and their clients. I think we're going to come out of this a very, very strong association. We've got Bayes listening to us. We've got Bayes making introductions to LEPs and growth hubs for us. We've got Be The Business listening to us. I've got a conference call with them next week. This is just going to go up and up and up. We're going to be in a very positive, strong position. Mentoring and business coaching is absolutely going to find its place in business support and advice over the coming months years. And I think we are probably the best placed to not just support business, but help them as well to take advantage of the situation and the landscape in a very positive and supportive way. So I thank you for what you're doing. And if anybody's got any more comments, chat them up me now. If not, we'll meet again at 11 o'clock next Thursday. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good day, everyone. Bye.
Thanks, Simon, and everybody.
Yeah. Enjoy your week. Thank you. Thanks, Georgina. Bye.